Hello and welcome to Sports Tech Live, the official Hype Sports Innovation podcast, providing all the must-know info on every aspect of the sports tech industry. Today's episode features Alistair Gosling, the CEO of Extreme. Extreme is a unique brand, community, and purpose-driven company that lives at the center of sports and entertainment. Their vision is to drive positive change through extreme and adventure sports. If you're looking to join, build, or strengthen your community of fans, this is the episode for you.
Okay, thank you everybody for joining us today. Today is a topic which is very close to my heart. It's about building powerful communities, especially for Gen Z. I'd like to dive straight in. I know your audiences, and you will share a little bit more, are in the ages of, let's say, 16, 17 to about 34, 35. This is exactly the type of audiences that I think sport brands now are aiming at. And I'm interested, if I'm a sport brand, a club, federation, what are the tangible tools you can give me when I'm planning now to really scale up or create a better, more engaged community with my fans?
Amazing. Well, look, first of all, Amir, lovely to see you again, and thank you for the opportunity. So, yeah, great to be joining everybody. Yeah, super good. So, look, community build engagement is an art to a degree, especially when you're dealing with this elusive 16 to 34 year old bracket. And actually, we go younger than that at times because you just get spillover in the younger and in the older. And I think the first thing that we really try and focus on is, right, knowing our audience and knowing our fan base and who are they and what do they want. And we also take an approach where once you start to analyze them, we have this approach which is about delivering to them. You've got to pay it forward and delivering to them what they want, where they want it, how they want it, and when they want it, right? And this young demographic are completely different to people over 35, 40, right? Because the technology and the whole game, the whole way they've grown up with, whether it's iPads, phones, etc., the whole thing has completely changed.
Can you name? I know a lot of, I hear it quite often that the level of engagement, there is totally different strategy when you're aiming at this age. Can you name like two, three tangible differences that if you're managing a community with your boomers like me or with the young generation, the structure and the platform should be totally different, and in what way?
Totally. So we obviously, here at Extreme, we obviously run a community. We've got about 20 million fans overall across our networks. And it's about managing them where they are. So let's just touch on where they are. So they are going to be on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Snapchat, on YouTube, on all those platforms, right? And the number one thing to understand is from a content and engagement perspective, and we're talking content focus here because there are many other areas we engage as well, but just talking, focusing in this area, it's about, they are not going to watch a half hour or 1 hour or even a whole live game or whatever it may be. They are interested in 30 seconds, 3 minutes, and 1 minute content, right? It is snap. That is
okay. So it has to be short. Okay. What else?
It's got to be short. It then has to be delivered in a way that they are, it's as entertaining as in and engaging as possible. So whatever that piece of content is, 30 second, 1 minute, 3 minute, whatever it is, has to be presented with graphics, a look, a feel, text over the top that is super entertaining and engaging. And you have to think, we are not, you can't rely on just the story within that very short time frame needs to be driven by entertainment and engagement. And the story and the that part of engagement, the story and the application are as important. if you're dealing with the older generation, just the story delivered straight up is enough. This group, that's not enough.
All right. So you're talking about a very specific way of editing, choosing the length and the editing this the content, which will be exactly in line of what they like to do. You know, I remember listening to a podcast with Mr. Beast. Yeah?
Absolutely.
And he was sharing that he's spent now $1 million over the thumbnail of a YouTube video. $1 million on the thumbnail.
Yep.
And I think his audiences are similar to your audiences.
Absolutely.
Are you going that deep?
Absolutely going that deep. So we obviously got it. We've got a community of 20 million. We're posting videos day in, day out. We have a team that are driving this, and that our levels are about 200 to 300 million video views a month. And how do we achieve that? What is it that we're doing that gives us that? So we are finding that content, producing that content, creating that content. We have this team of an editorial hunting team who are working the stories on one side, and they're just hunting for great, amazing stories. And then on the other side, we have editors, literal teams of people in rooms who are working the editing, the actual, the layering, the look, the feel, et cetera, et cetera. And that structure, and then we have channel managers and so on and so forth. And we do this for Extreme, our own brands and third party brands. But that structure is the way that it works best. And then the way it's edited, you cannot bring, it's very rare you can take a television editor or a live editor that is used to sport, long form or whatever, and bring them in to make this. You have to start with a social first, digital first, probably in there under the age of 25, dare I say it. And you have to give them the keys and let them go for it. And that...
How many people work on those teams for you?
We have about 35 in our social team as it stands right now.
And would it be wild guess to say that they're not based in the UK? They're based somewhere like India or...
No, so we have a digital nomad policy here. We have a core in the UK, so we have office and a small team, but we have teams working remotely from literally all over. What we have not done is outsourced all of our editing to India, to a team in India.
Yeah.
Because we look for people who understand adventure sports, understand our lifestyle, understand the community. Mm. And the chances are somebody in India, you know, if you just get a team in a room in India, that isn't going to cut it. Yeah.
Yeah. You want the hands on the energy, everything around it.
And the passion for the lifestyle. So if you did this, so we run a remote team with a core, but yeah, so that's the structure that we currently run.
Alistair, I feel comfortable to challenge you a bit. Yeah. If I may.
Bring it on.
Let's say I have a friend without getting into, you know, names and specifics, which is just left the Bundesliga, and he's coming to a UK to lead the marketing as a CMO of one of the, you know, English Premier League teams. And he's coming to me and say, Amir, there is nothing there in terms of community. It's very, very dull and almost not existent. And specifically the element of the Gen Z and the Alpha, as we call them. If you were to talk to my friend, what were the five steps, I'm just saying four, yeah, it could be three, that you would invite him to take in order to build in a short time this powerful community?
So I think many sports brands take an approach. They only want to talk about their brand and what's going on in their club or whatever it is. We have an approach where, to start with, you need to pay it forward. So giving content, giving entertainment, but it can be about, if you just take football, for example, it can just be about football, but the main bulk of the content is about the brand, the club, the federation, whatever it is. But you pull content in that is entertaining from that sport. So anything football related that's just super cool and entertaining, you can pull that in, right? And so to start with, you go through a and we're obviously being, we're talking predominantly focused around content here and this area in terms of community build on in the media and social areas. There are many other areas we look at as well, just as a touch point, but focusing on this, you then go, right, what is that strategy? What is the plan? So we're going to shift into short form. We're going to run 30 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, et cetera. We're going to structure our social structure very differently from the rest of the business because it has to be thinking that way. We are then going to go, right, what content, what entertainment have we got in-house, right? So what players have we got? What's happening at the club?
What are the resources, the assets we have internally?
Okay, so that's one bucket that we then analyze with you and go through and look at and go, right, you've got these amazing players, they've got social followings, all those good things. On the other side, you go, right, what amazing, and by the way, what amazing stories are happening from football, even competing clubs, right? Street, beach, whatever, doesn't matter. What amazing stories, heartfelt, whatever it is, entertainment is happening in football, right? You hunt those stories down and you pull those into your feed, into what you're broadcasting and posting ultimately, yeah. And that way, your content becomes super rich, super engaging. The guy who's a passionate, let's just take it, passionate Chelsea fan or Man U or whatever it is, they're getting all the Man U stuff coming through. But then also, by the way, you're delivering them. Wow, we've got this super cool thing happening. It's football related over here. That is really interesting, right? And by the way, you're totally thinking about this age demographic, the group, the consumer and the viewer and the fan that we're talking about here.
All right. Right? So I create this persona, this profile of the target audience, and then I start produce. Or generate or collect cool and entertaining stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. But
you got a team.
Devil's
in-house.
Advocate, he will say, I have two digital guys there sitting in the room. I thought that's what they're doing.
Yeah. So we come across this with brands and clubs and people, clients of ours all the time.
They're very cool. They sit in the digital room.
But we come across this all the time where the structure is wrong, the insights are wrong, the understanding of social is just not there again and again and again, which is why, you know, that, and that is, there's a little bit of secret sauce to it, let's be honest, do you know what I mean? And you have to be so deep in it to really understand this piece. And there are nuances and the understanding of, you know, those parts are, to a degree, that's, you know, that's what we do. And yeah. I mean, we do it for our own brand, but we also do it for third parties.
I understand. But, you know, in the previous conversation, you mentioned that you're producing how many videos per month?
Actually, I prefer to talk per day. So per day, we're posting anything from 15 up to 35.
A day. Okay. So this, you know, if you look at it on a weekly, monthly basis, this is like a factory of production. Now,
absolutely.
And everything is internal, like the videos, the editing, the copy, the everything is internal, or you do have some outsourced for specifics?
So shooting, the actual filming with cameras, yeah, we do some in-house and some out-house. We have a network of camera producers who are sending content into us. I mean, some of this is user-generated.
Let's focus on this for a second, because I think what you know, when you mentioned the art, you know, of creating this, and of course, the secret sauce, it's also enrolling a community. Now, what I sometimes see that brands are really, you know, the assets they have already, the teams, in terms of, you know, as you said, experts and resources that will be able to send them freely amazing videos is out there. So what kind of structure would you, you know, would you create specific campaigns around that? Would you you know, give some, I would say, specific remuneration for those content producers and create your own creation community?
Yeah, so that is, you've obviously got to have revenue and budget coming in around this, because, you know, YouTube or Facebook, etc., they're obviously sharing revenue. So there's an advertising model that attaches to this. And then you need that network. You have camera team in-house, right, who are film producers, what we call predators, actually. They produce, they edit, they produce, they film, and they edit. So they organize themselves, they film.
And you do revenue share with them, or you pay them also per production?
So that, most of those predators are in-house, yeah? But some, we have many freelance out of house as well. So it really just depends. I mean, we're using every structure you could possibly think of, yeah, in terms of that different structure, and working with lots and lots of people from all over the world as well who are sending content in.
Got it.
Now, so yeah, the other thing I would probably touch on here is, so the creative, so there's the filming part of this, right, which is where you need the footage coming in. And then you structure up channel managers who are managing these things. And then you structure up editing, right? And it's social first, digital first, editing, thinking, thought process in a style and a way that is completely engaging for this demographic. And all of that is in-house.
Got it. Now, this friend of mine that is just joining this Premier League team is also considering what kind of
No, no problem. So I can pick up and go back to, yeah, on the content creation side of things. The other thing, once you've created the content, is potential cross promotion.
Okay.
Right. So you've got your network up and running on, you know, how many fans you got on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, et cetera, et cetera. So that's up and running. What we do a lot of is working with brands. So you're working the content through those channels, but then we use our network to cross promote. And so you can grow much, much quicker if you've got
the cross promotion element.
Precisely.
Exactly. Now, let's say my friend in the Premier League is asking, is considering, because he wants to own his own fans. Yeah. At the moment on Facebook, he doesn't own them.
Yep.
Same with YouTube. It's nice that, you know, maybe there is a nice, you know, revenue share, but this is, you know, not really significant, because he can own it and then he can do upsell, he can do whatever he wants if it's on his own channel. Now, if he will ask you, looking at the next 3 to 5 years, as a strategy, would you, you know, from their own perspective, yeah, of course, it will be more benefit for them to strive to have older database on their own app, and then maybe additional one place, or to continue to use all the different channels across the board? Yeah. What's your take on this?
So you need to go where the fan base is. Right. So the strategy, and I get that rub that I want to own the fan. It creates value, drives shareholder value, all those things. I understand that entirely. The reality is the fans are sitting in multiple places. Right. So they are sitting on TikTok, on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. That is where they are. That is where they're consuming their entertainment. Right. Yeah, they're not on television anymore. They've got that is done and dusted, right? So you have to go, that's where they are, right? And we've watched social media businesses, networks up. I mean, look at TikTok in the last, you know, 3 years. It's come from nothing to the machine it is now today, right? So that is just, and you're always going to have this flux of them growing and dropping and growing and dropping and all those bits and pieces, right? So face that fact and manage it accordingly. At the same time, so that is one part of the strategy over here, yeah. Right? At the same time, you know, what we're doing is we've launched fast channels, we've launched apps, we've launched, you know, places where they are indirect and you own them. And you build that community across all those different, you cross every touch point.
So you don't see any way to have shortcuts by focusing on one or two channels. You think that there has to be, as it stands at the moment, a multi-channels strategy, basically to focus where the fans are and not focusing on bringing the fans to your own platform.
It's a balance, right? Yeah, I mean, we have a strategy which covers all the different platforms. You can, depending on what you're trying to achieve, you can say we're just going to focus on these two. But you then have to remember, if just focusing on those two, in certain countries, those two might not be popular, or they may, you're missing out on, you know, a right. potentially a significant swathe of right. fans, right?
Now,
and so, sorry.
Yeah, so just again, I'm dragging you to the practical story, but
love it. Bring it on.
This room is about that. The Brilliant. Other rooms talking about other stuff. Let's say I know I'm continuing with our example. I have a little budget. I wanna open this new department of digital building community, and. How do I structure it as a rule of thumb? Yeah, I know, again, it's not something that we can do over a short call, but in general, budget-wise, you know, I need what, 5 people, each one on each channel. I need, I would say, let's say 2 editors, 2 guys with a camera, and 2 creative guys, which are, operating a, let's say, community of creators. Is it okay to put together a budget for, let's say, 7 people to make this all happen? Do I speak more or less in the region or far off?
Listen, you can do it. You can do it with 2. Yeah, you can do it with 7. You can do it with 10. You can, you know, and it just depends on, you know, it's that speed and process and so on and so forth. So there really isn't a locked in number. You definitely need to do it, some one person on their own, the amount of, because with social, it's also about, you know, volume, right? And I'm not talking, yeah, so I'm talking, you heard my numbers earlier of how much we're posting short form, yeah? And again, it cuts back to short, but lots of it. Yeah.
Let's say on YouTube, how many posts would you do a day?
Just depends. You know, not so many on YouTube. YouTube's a slightly different platform.
Okay. And TikTok?
TikTok, 3 or 4 or 5.
A day. Facebook, 12. Instagram the same probably, yeah?
Facebook, 12 to 15.
12 to 15 on Facebook, a day?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, just depends. Depends wow. what content, what stories are coming in. Depends what's going on, absolutely.
Okay, and which are the platforms?
What you have to remember is Facebook is revenue generating as well.
Why?
Because they share in the revenue.
Okay. Okay. In this regard, but Facebook is Facebook addressing your audiences?
Listen, there is still, I mean, look, Facebook, you know, lots of talk about Facebook being down, but trust me, you know, the numbers are still
huge. When you say Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, Facebook and Instagram, absolutely.
Okay, but you can choose if it would be on Instagram or Facebook, yeah?
Yeah, but you can monetize on Facebook, okay. Right? Whereas you cannot monetize, for example, on TikTok.
Okay.
So there's a revenue stream potential for anybody looking at this in Facebook. Yeah, and we're a tier 1 global partner with Facebook, have amazing relationship with them, super cool people, all of that good stuff. And you need to then, you know, so you just work that through with Facebook in terms of...
So how do you monetize TikTok, for example? Or it's just a channel of exposure and a cross-promotion?
No, so you are able to monetize on TikTok. Facebook monetizes because they sell the advertising and share the advertising revenue with you, but they're doing the sale. The same with YouTube. Yeah? TikTok, you're...
You need to do the selling. I got it.
So, but that's if you're a football club, you've got a sales team, they can package up different packages for sponsors, and that comes a different route.
All right. Got it. Now, you know, some of the clubs have less followers than their superstars. What's the, you know, how would you go about, you know, managing this, I would say, relations, and how they can leverage each other?
Huge opportunity, because, you know, the cross-promotion piece I was talking about earlier, you have, and it's slightly different, because the way the clubs need to think about it is they are a publisher, right? And what they have with a superstar who's got more fans than maybe the club, yeah, you have an incredible cross promotion opportunity where, depending on contractually where you are with that person, yeah, with that player or athlete or whoever it is, if the contract is structured right and you're able to, as the club, as the publisher, are able to cross promote, or they post on their platforms, they're posting and posting and cross posting and tagging, huge opportunity, because then people will then follow the club as well as them, and it all starts working together.
Got it.
The other route on the cross promotion is finding other pages that you can cross promote with as well to build out the network.
Collaborations and partnerships. Let's talk a bit, we are getting to the end shortly. Let's talk about the future, and specifically on AI.
Yeah.
I believe you agree that if we have this call in 3 years' time, you have no stuff.
Sorry, say that again.
In 3 years' time, we have this call, you have no stuff. Everything is generated by AI. Maybe I'm, what do you think?
Listen, we totally believe in AI. In fact, forgive the plug, we're running a AI conference to do with media in June in London. So we're and that's for creative industries and media around all the different areas. But from my perspective, AI is an amazing additional tool to what we're doing. There will never, never to say never, but watching somebody do something in the real world, whether it's, for us, it's jumping off a cliff on a snowboard or a set of skis, or some activity and something is happening and filming that, and the potential that that person can die, let's be honest about it, from an entertainment perspective, because it's like, wow, is what's driving the numbers. The moment you know that piece of video, just the copy of that, is actually just not real, it kind of takes away the entertainment factor. So our view on AI is it's an amazing tool, and it's coming through like a juggernaut. We're using it lots and lots of places already in different areas. And what it's doing is it's enabling us to work smarter, faster, deliver more engagement.
Already you're editing, working with video editing AI softwares?
Absolutely.
Can you share a couple of softwares that you're using, just in terms of, you know, that are already doing some work? Because I know Midjourney is good, but it's not video, it's pictures.
Yeah. So off the top of my head, I don't remember them. Forgive me.
Okay.
The team I know, forgive me on that one.
That's fine.
But super happy if somebody wants to know what are you using for different areas, if they reach out to us, so happy to share that. No problems at all. But yes, we are already using that in terms of that side of things. I also think there's also an interesting one that's coming through in terms of AI presenters, right? And characters that will talk and engage. I think we're a bit early on that, but that's coming through as well. But we see that AI as an amazing tool that we're using already, and it's only going to grow and only going to make hopefully what we're doing more engaging, more entertaining. Will it start completely editing potentially down the line? Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, you feed in the footage, it'll cut it, work it, put everything together, and away you go. It's a fact of life, right? Yeah. But I think it will not replace a camera shooting outside in a real situation.
The camera will be there, but the ability to say to the AI platform, please choose the most interesting extreme sports videos from this week and edit it in the, you know, TikTok format and add our special, you know, features, it can do in a few seconds and, you know, minutes.
Yeah,
I think a nice analogy I think I heard from Gary V, which was mentioning that, you know, the AI is like the tractor invention. Yeah. A lot of people were, you know, afraid that it would take them out of jobs, but new jobs were created. So AI will present, you know, I'm sure new jobs, new opportunities, and maybe, you know, allow us to be more productive, as you expect any technology, with all the, you know, risks and downsides alongside it.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, you know, in our area, we're super excited by it. There's obviously the copyright issues that you start to have to think about in terms of, you know, manipulation of other people's work and all those bits and pieces. But yeah, look, it's coming. It's a juggernaut. As I love the analogy of the tractor and the horse. You know, there were, you know, however many people were working on that land before. Yeah. Now you only need, you know, I think that's a really good one. And look, you know, through human history, you've seen these things come in, the flux, the flow, you know, the one area that excites me is if we can have, dare I say it, the lawyers replaced from an AI perspective, happy days, right? No, I'm joking, obviously, but
yeah,
all good.
Okay. Last word, prediction for the future. How are we going to manage those communities in the future, 5 years from now? As a sport club, what should I look for?
I think for me, and we've spoken today predominantly about media and social and this side, right? For me, it's about the multiple touch points, right? It is looking at all the pillars from an engagement perspective across any fan's life cycle. And whether that's apparel, you know, in terms of merchandise, whether it's the fan experience on the ground, whether it's the content that we've spoken about today, it's literally all of those points. And I do believe over the next whatever, the fan engagement platforms, the touch points and managing those fans in the future, we're just going to get, I mean, we're sophisticated already to a degree, but we are just going to get so much more sophisticated than that, where you really understand that consumer, that fan, and you're going to be able to touch base with them in a way that is so engaging from a future perspective is my prediction.
All right, Alistair, I think at least I just got an appetizer for this topic, and I think there's so much to look forward to. Thank you for those insights. I cannot help by thinking about the fact that it's so obvious that we need some kind of simple box, I call it, yeah, that allows us to convert those great platforms and ideas and content into real time without needing to reinvent it with every sport brand. It's like, let's create one solution, technology-wise, platform-wise, implementation-wise, execution-wise, create this box and then duplicate it with that, you know, the principles should apply the same. So I think there is a huge potential here in terms of the market to produce this box and then just duplicate it and make, you know, allow those sport brands to really use it without needing to deal with, you know, 10 solutions and 5 startups and 3 other implementers to create what, you know, ultimately is a community of meaning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, Amir, I like that thinking. If we can invent the box, bring it on. And just to say, really appreciate the opportunity to chat and talk things through today. So again, yes, thank sir. You for thank
All
you.
All right, Alistair. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. Bye for now.
No worries. Thanks a lot.
That's it for today's session. Be sure to check out all our previous and future recordings by following us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and more by searching for Hype Sports Innovation. Until next time.